Well, amen. Praise the Lord for that special as well this morning. What a blessing that was. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, look with me, if you would, to the book of Luke in chapter 1. Luke in chapter 1, and we'll be reading verse 39 down to verse 47. Luke, the Gospel of Luke, chapter 1. If you'll stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together, if you're able to stand. As I read, you follow right along with me. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. The Bible says, "And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judea, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutations of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come unto me? For, lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. Blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you, again, we love you, Lord, thanking you for, first of all, loving us. Thank you for what we've already received and just being in this assembly this morning. Father, now as we've opened up the precious holy word that you have preserved for us, I know you have a message for each one of us through this passage of scripture. I pray, God, that you would just use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Last week, I started out with saying we need Christmas. More than any other year that I can think of, we need Christmas this year. And not the typical giving of gifts and all the things that a lot of people might associate Christmas with as a holiday. But what I mean is we need to remember Christ's birth. What a joy it is to think about the magnitude of God becoming man, placing himself in the womb of a woman. My goodness. I mean, the creator of all things placed himself in the womb of Mary. Last week, we preached on John chapter 3, the last recorded message of John the Baptist. And John presented that he rejoiced over the bridegroom's voice. His last message was him giving and revealing that his whole life was spent around Jesus Christ. And he rejoiced as he was able to hear the bridegroom's voice. And helps us to understand that Jesus, not only is he the Christ, the Messiah, but in this New Testament church age, he is looked at as the bridegroom. And the church being the bride of Christ and believers making up the church. And so we have Jesus as a bridegroom for us and loving us and laying down his life for us as a husband ought to love his wife and give himself for his bride. And we find that Jesus did just that. And so we preached on that, the bridegroom of Jesus Christ and being Jesus Christ. Well, today, last week, it was the last message, recorded message of John the Baptist. Today, I want to preach a message to you on the first recorded message of John the Baptist. The first recorded message of John the Baptist. In verse 44, the Bible says, and as Elizabeth, John the Baptist's mother, as she had John in her womb, and she would be about six months pregnant at this particular time. And she says, "For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy." See, John was first to express joy over Christ's presence on earth. He was the very first one. You study the scriptures, you read it all, and you find that John in the womb, now listen to me, John in the womb of Elizabeth would express joy when he came into the presence of Christ in Mary's womb. I mean, this is something that has taken place when Mary now has just recently, God planted himself as a seed in the womb of Mary. And she immediately, because she was instructed of the angels to go visit Elizabeth, because God was going to give Mary a message from Elizabeth, but the message came to Elizabeth from the child that was in her womb, which was John the Baptist, as he was filled with the Holy Ghost, and he gave tremendous joy and leaping when he come into the presence of Christ in the womb of Mary. Can I tell you that John the Baptist was one of a kind? Now, he was not the only begotten Son of God, as Jesus is one of a kind. That means the only begotten means one of a kind, because Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. Jesus was virgin born. Mary never knew a man, and yet she had in her womb the very presence, the very seed of God. Now that's only begotten. Never has there ever been another virgin born. Never will there ever be another virgin born. That was only the Son of God. That's Jesus Christ. But second to that would have been John the Baptist, who we know to be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet the Bible reveals to us something that happened to John that we have not seen before. As recorded in Luke in chapter 1 and verse 15, as the angel was telling Zacharias about John the Baptist that he would give birth to, or Elizabeth would give birth to, and he said this in verse 15, "And he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, as a Nazarite," that wasn't that different, "but and shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb." That's one of a kind. John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says, and God's able to do anything that God wants to do. And John would be the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he would be great in the eyes of the Lord. And yet one of those things that would make John great in the eyes of the Lord is that he would be filled with the Holy Spirit of God from his mother's womb. From his mother's womb, he realized that Jesus was the Messiah and the greatest source for joy. And he expressed it for you and I to read, and for you and I to understand. If John from the womb would recognize the greatest source of joy, how much more should we recognize that Jesus Christ is the greatest source for joy that this world has ever known? And it's available to us. It's available to us. The psalmist would write, "In the presence, in thy presence is fullness of joy." In the presence of God, and we know that Jesus was God manifested in the flesh. And so we know in the presence of God the Father, in the presence of God the Son, in the presence of God the Holy Spirit, there is this great joy. If we would just be aware of the presence of God the Father, that would bring joy to our, if you're aware of that and you have faith to understand that and believe that, that brings a source of joy to know that I, who am nothing, have a heavenly Father who is everything as my dad. As my dad. I've often said, no matter what other positions that I have in this world, whether it be as a son, whether it be to my parents, as a husband to my wife, a father to my children, a pastor to this church, the thing that I look to most of all is being God's little boy. And if I live to be a 90 years old, I'm always going to be God's little boy. My mom told me I was the youngest of seven, and she told me I'd never outgrow this. I would always be her baby boy. Yeah. But what I look to most is I am the son of a creator God. I'm God's little boy. I can find joy in that. When I have everything else going on and the pressures of this life and all the other things taking place, if I can go to my place, a little place, and think about my Heavenly Father, I can find joy in resting in His bosom. Yeah. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Nehemiah would instruct those builders of the wall. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord. Can I tell you that God has made it available to us through Him, and it is what we need to have strength in dealing with anything and everything in this life. It's the joy of the Lord. That is the most important thing for us to have, because it's our strength to live every day. It's our strength to deal with whatever we have to deal with. It's our strength that God has provided for us that is found in His presence. The joy of the Lord is our strength. If we understand that's our strength, then we need to build everything else about our life around that which brings us joy. Most important thing in our lives is God. Think about God, the vastness of His presence, the power, the omnipotence. Just kind of helps to mute everything else. John's whole life was built around this joy. And our lives can be built around this joy. The joy of the birth of the only begotten Son of God. When you stop and just try to think of all the aspects of that, it has to bring a smile to your face. When you think about Jesus being born, virgin born, Son of God, only begotten Son of God, laying in a manger in a little town of Bethlehem on this earth some 2,000 years ago, every time you think about that, if you have faith to believe it, should bring a smile to your face. Because that's joy. When you think of the cross that He went to, not that we ever want to see anyone suffer, and not that we ever want anyone to have to go through the agony and unjust pain, but to know the cross represented God's love for us, and knowing that He needed to lay His life down so that we might have life. What great love. Love that has been proven by the cross of Calvary. And we think of the cross of Calvary. I don't think of Jesus still on the cross. I'm thinking of Jesus paying a sin debt on the cross. He come off the cross. I don't want to wear a cross around my neck that has Christ on it, because I don't look to the cross to have Jesus on it. I look to the cross, the empty cross, to know that I find joy in that he paid a sin debt that I owe and could not pay, but he resurrected as God the Father, as God the Son, to God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, the Trinity of God. And then I think of where he's at now and where he will maintain a throne throughout all eternity. The same God that was manifested in the flesh in a birth, a virgin birth, and laid in a tiny crib in Bethlehem, who went to the cross to pay my sin debt and is now ever living to make intercession for us, and sitting on the right hand of God the Father on a throne that will be his throughout eternity. Can I tell you, how can that not bring you joy? How can that not put a smile on your face in the midst of anything and every other thing that you might be facing if you just focus on Jesus? You'll find joy. John was the first to express this joy. The second to express this joy, look in our text here, it's right here in verse 41, verse 42. The second recorded, what's recorded in the Bible to express joy over Christ was Elizabeth. Elizabeth. Verse 41, the Bible says, and she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord? She already was looking at Mary, who would have just been impregnated with the Spirit of God, by the Spirit of God. She would not have been showing. She would not have been, anyone else could have could tell that she had was pregnant, but Elizabeth knew and called that babe that was growing in her womb her Lord. Elizabeth was inspired by joy to give praise to having a part of God's plan. John was not the Messiah, but he was the first step in the plan to present Jesus as the Messiah to the world. And Elizabeth knew that she had John in her womb, and he leaped for joy because of the Lord, their Lord, that was in Mary's womb. Meaning that God had not chosen her to be the virgin, to give the virgin born Son of God as he did Mary, but he chose her to have a part in his plan, his design for all humanity. And she was inspired by her joy of knowing this to give praise to God and to Mary and to Jesus. Second Corinthians in chapter 5. Do you know that if you're saved, you have a part to play in God's designed plan for humanity? If you don't know this, you're missing out on joy. If you know this, then if you think about it, you can rejoice. Did you get a hold of that? I don't want that to pass over your head. Elizabeth realizes she is part of God, this creator God's design plan. You and I, When you believe in Jesus Christ and you trust him to be your personal Lord and Savior, he comes within you. He has enabled you. And he has a design plan for your life that goes hand in hand with his design plan for humanity. Meaning, I have a part to play. 2 Corinthians in chapter 5, a very well-known passage of scripture, but I trust that it will be applicable, even more applicable now. In verse 17, the Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, is that you? Are you in Christ? Have you had faith to believe that Jesus paid your sin debt on Calvary's cross? Did you have faith to believe that it was God who was manifested in the flesh? You've seen him and you believed in his virgin born. And you believed in his place on the cross. And now you believe in his ever living to make intercession for you today. You believe in Jesus Christ, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That's what it takes to get saved. You have to first of all have faith to believe and then receive Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior. And if you have that, therefore, if any man be in Christ, that's what it takes to be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You can have a new perspective. You have something inside of you, someone inside of you that is bearing witness with your spirit that is helping you to see things as God wants you to see things, if you'll just yield to it. It's there. And his spirit wants to bear witness with your spirit. You have to open up the communication line between your spirit and God's spirit. And you have to desire to listen and hear from the Spirit of God. I trust that's one of the reasons you're in church today. You're acknowledging your belief in Christ. And you're acknowledging what he has commandments he's given to us. And not forsaking and understanding that Sunday is the Lord's day. But you also acknowledging, I want to hear from him. I want to grow in my knowledge and understanding of him. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us. That's us. That's everyone that's saved. The ministry. Part of God's design plan. Just as John the Baptist, just as Elizabeth giving birth to John the Baptist was part of God's design plan. You're being saved. You have been given a ministry. Part of God's divine plan is to present that plan of God to the world. And that's why he goes down to say, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. You're an ambassador. You're an ambassador to your family. You're an ambassador to your coworkers. You're an ambassador to anyone and everyone that your life crosses paths with. You're an ambassador given to you by God. And there's joy in that. There's joy in knowing that I can be used of God to help someone else who is blinded, is going to spend an eternity in a devil's hell, to help take the blinders off and present to them salvation, which will give them a gift of everlasting life. Think about that. What other career could be could compare with that? We all have other jobs and we have different things, but can I tell you, there's nothing compares to making an eternal difference in another person's life. Because not only will it make an eternal difference in their life, but it will in turn make them ambassadors to be able to tell somebody else that their lives might cross. It's God's design plan. And we can be a part of it. And when you understand that you are a part of it, and you are yielding to this, there's joy. If you've never won somebody to Christ, if you've never actually sit down, presented the Bible, presented the plan of salvation, and seen somebody bow their head, call upon Jesus, and know that they're saved, you're missing out on joy that's available to you. Once you experience it, you say, I want to do that again. And again. And again. And again. And there's no limit. You don't have a certain quota, not that at all. It comes by way of being an ambassador in God's design plan. That was Elizabeth. Elizabeth, inspired by joy, gave praise to having part in God's plan. Yeah. The next to express joy. If you study the scriptures, you'll find the first was John the Baptist. The second was Elizabeth. And now it's Mary's turn. Mary was not the first. She was not the second. But she would be the third. In Luke in chapter 1, go back there to our text. When the angel came to her, she was a young teenager preparing to marry her love of life, Joseph. She had kept herself pure in every way. She was ready to establish a family with Joseph. Her life was turned upside down. At first, she was troubled. At first, she had some fears. Luke in chapter 1 and verse 28. And the angel came unto her, Mary, and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Now that would seem to bring joy. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Why is this happening to me? Why am I hearing from an angel? The angel said unto her, Fear not, because she had some fear. For thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary, this is what's going on inside of Mary. All that would sound good, and it sounds good to us looking back. This is all new to her. She's still planning on marrying Joseph. And how can she marry Joseph if he finds her with child? Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? I've saved myself for Joseph. And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. So he knew that she would be a little confused, and the angel of God knew that she would be a little perplexed. The angel of God knew that she would even have some fears and be troubled in mind and understanding. And he sends her to Elizabeth. When she gets to Elizabeth, the baby leaps in her womb, John the Baptist. Elizabeth rejoices over what has taken place, and she calls the baby that was in Mary's womb her Lord. And then Mary rejoices. Look at verse 46, Luke chapter 1 and verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Listen, when we can see things as God sees things, we will find joy. Sometimes we're fearful because we don't understand. We're troubled because we don't understand. We're wondering. We had one plan and one design, and God says, "No, that's not my plan for your life." But when we're able to see things as God sees things, we can and will find joy. We just have to desire to see things as God sees things. I don't know that she could have outside of going to visit Elizabeth. And God brought the right people with the right message into her life that enabled her to see things as God sees things. And then she rejoiced. Amen. What a blessing. Next to find joy, to reveal joy, Luke in chapter 2. Luke in chapter 2, verse 8 to 14. Next would be all of heaven. As far as recording here, we don't find anyone else until after the birth of Jesus Christ now. And after the birth of Jesus Christ, God reveals to us all of heaven rejoicing. Chapter 2, verse 8. "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace and goodwill toward man." All of heaven had been waiting on this great day when God would become man. Yeah, what a blessing. God's plan in the fullness of time had come. All of heaven rejoiced. Since that day, many have expressed joy over the Christ and his birth, in his burial, in his resurrection. But most recently, today, needs to be me. Because God's made it available to me to find joy through Christ. Not only does it need to be me today, it needs to be you. God wants you to find joy in Christ today. Some 2,000 years later, in a year that has been more difficult than any other year that I can remember, there's joy to be found in Christ today. Philippians 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Hebrews 13:15 says, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 8, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Our joy in Christ can help us to overcome fear, confusion, and rise above all our circumstances of life. It can. The song says, joy to the world. The Lord is come. You believe the Lord has come? There's joy to the world. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room. It's what the world needs. And if the world will not receive Jesus as King, let every heart. It comes down to your heart. It comes down to my heart. Prepare him room. And you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed this morning. Do you have the joy of the Lord? We have examples from the very beginning of Christ in the womb of Mary, of those that found joy and expressed rejoicing. This morning, make sure that you have room and you've made room for Jesus in your heart. Father, we bow before you. Love you, Lord. Thank you for the truth of your word. I pray, God, now that you'd help us as we have heard the message to make whatever applications necessary. Maybe there's some here this morning that need to receive you as their personal Lord and Savior and have the joy within them. There's others that might have their joy blinded by the cares in the fears of this world. But Father, I pray that they would have those blinders removed and rededicate a life that would bring to them the joy that you have for them. Whatever the case, I pray, God, that you would work now in our midst and bless in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.